We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual-threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFLSundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world! George's Box.
That was the maddest thing I've ever seen. It's George's Box. Goodness gracious.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
It's a good day to be a Yankee fan. I guess, I don't know, we're having some fun talking before the show. We're recording this on Tuesday at 5:45. We're going to record a bunch, then we're going to stop, and then we're going to come back and record the post game of the game tonight. So you kind of get everything you're listening to Wednesday. But we make small talk before this, and I asked Nick, hey, Nick, so, like, what are you up to this weekend? Because we both live in Philly. Sometimes we hang out and just, you know, we're friends. And, Nick, what did you say?
I said, it's my anniversary. And then you said, okay, what are you doing? I said, probably watching the games, hanging out.
Yeah. Just, no, you said, well, it's our anniversary, so, you know, we're probably just hanging out. And I was thinking you were going to be like, you know, dinner, movie, just watching the games. It is what it is, man.
Yeah, I mean, with right now, it's tough to go out to eat anyway. So Saturday night, for that Saturday night Red Sox game, maybe I'll cook some pasta, have a little wine. We can have the game on or something, figure something out. But it's tough going out now anyway. It kind of works out for us.
I did. I was actually over by you. I did some Italian place, Antonio's or something like that.
Okay.
Kind of near you. And we just got, like, we hadn't had pasta in a while, so it was like, let's just order Italian. So we did that, and then I ordered fried calamari, just because I was like, because I'd get this if I went out. I'd never order it takeout, but I was like, I need to get an appetizer to feel like I've left the house.
You need to get certain things that you'd be getting if things were normal.
Yeah.
Can't go a year without eating that. I get
it. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, when am I going to eat fried calamari? Never, because I'm not going to restaurants. Oh, man. Yeah, it was, how is the bachelor party? So I found this out after we recorded, I believe, or I just didn't bring it up. But you went to a bachelor party, and what did you bring with you?
So I brought a personal TV. And look, you're very similar to me. When you're going somewhere, right, 6, 7, 8 guys from different cities, you know, we had Philly fans, some Baltimore fans, some New York fans, you just don't know what the TV situation is going to be like, man. I have to cover myself, and I don't like watching just on a laptop. It doesn't do it for me.
So you were – are these like your boys from home that like you grew up with?
So these are like frat guys from college, basically.
Okay.
So I knew there were eight of us. I knew five of them, did not know two of them. But this way I can be like, guys, you put whatever you want on the big main TV in the living room, but this TV is for the Yankees.
You were in like a sunroom, it looked like a side room.
Yes, that was the nice part is we ended up spending most of our time kind of in that back, that screened-in porch. You know, you get the fresh air, but you don't have to deal with bugs or anything. It's kind of the perfect combo. And so I just brought the TV out there. And, you know, what the funny thing is everybody kind of just ended up watching with me and gambling.
So yeah, you weren't alone in any of the, like, the background I saw. I thought it was going to be, like, all Phillies fans and you're just sitting there like Steven Glansberg, you know, by yourself.
The only time I was alone was the Saturday, the Cole start, the 2 o'clock game. They all went to the beach, you know, bringing the speaker, bringing the football. Typical guys going to the beach, but I was like, guys, I just can't miss a Cole start. Maybe if Hap was pitching, right, I would have went with them or something, but I can't miss a Cole start. So that was the only really time I was alone was Saturday during the day.
I do. I'll bring a Fire Stick. I haven't brought a full TV, but I'll do a Fire Stick. And we went to Outer Banks. Two summers ago with, like, my in-laws, and I brought a Fire Stick so I could watch Yankee games. And I hooked it up to the big TV, and they, you know, when they had, like, day games, people were at the beach. I don't go to the beach. I'm watching it. And then it just became like, oh, what's this Fire Stick thing? This is cool. We could watch the World Cup. I think, like, the World Cup was going on at times, so my brother-in-law was like, oh, you get all the things for the World Cup. Which is like, no, this is a Yankee Fire Stick. That's all. That's what this is for.
We're not watching soccer on here, and I think I've really kind of mastered the art of being able to watch the Yankees in sticky situations, in public, at different places. And I've just found that if you let the other people have the main TV – And you just say, this is my small TV, and this is for the Yankees only. Nobody can say anything. You are in the clear.
Like, don't get me wrong. It's weird. It's a little weird for, like, as an outsider, it's weird. But, like, we don't kink shame here. Like, whatever, right. You know, you want to put peanut butter on your balls and have someone lick it off. Like, maybe that's weird, but you're doing it. You're not hurting anyone else. You're not doing it in a park.
Right.
You had your own room.
Exactly. So, had that covered, and it was fun. But I mean, overall, in terms of the week for us, it wasn't too fun. The last time we talked, we were 8-1. We had three games left with the Phillies, and then a 4-game series at the Trop. And neither of the series went well. I mean, let's be honest. I wanted at least 3 out of 4 from Philly. We had to settle for a split. The doubleheader was brutal. You know, the first game was sloppy. The second game of that doubleheader was boring. And then Thursday, Montgomery really took a step back. Like, that Philly series was frustrating.
The Philly series was frustrating because, we weren't clicking, right? We weren't clicking, and it was exactly what you said. We built a team whose strength is our lineup and our bullpen. Defensively, we're all right. We have some guys who are really good defensively, but we have some flaws. And our starting pitching obviously has holes in it, but these 7-inning games, I don't like them. I don't like them at all. Because that first game, we would have won.
It was the perfect storm for the Phillies, that doubleheader. They threw their number 1 and their number 2 in 2 7-inning games. We threw Jay Happ and Loaisiga. I mean, what did you expect to happen? And that's exactly right. The first game, you give us 2 more cracks at that bullpen, that would have been completely different. The Phillies bullpen let up 7 runs on Monday night to the Braves in the 9th inning. In one inning, they let up 7 runs. We would have got to them. Nola pitched really well against us in the second game, and we were just lucky to get out of there with a split. But in the first game, I mean, Higgy's making outs on the bases, getting doubled up. They're making errors. I think Happ walked 6 guys. Like, that was the sloppiest I've seen us play in a while, that first game of the doubleheader.
It was real, like, and that's the thing I remember. I had a coach in high school who would say, like, you can make all the physical errors, like, you want. You know, those are going to happen. It's the mental errors that are going to cost you. And so when you've got, like, oh, Higgy, someone tweeted, like, Higgy's got as many hits as Brett Gardner. Never mind. You know, because you can't get doubled up like that. I mean, from a, like, pitching standpoint, I mean, Happ just, I mean, what's going on? He looked lost.
He doesn't look like a major league starter. I mean, but he's not even close to he's not even close to a quality start. And the Phillies lineup's good, but you can't be walking guys in front of Bryce Harper and then throwing him a meatball 1-2, and he parks it onto the Liberty Bell. I mean, this is basic elementary stuff. He just had no idea how to navigate that lineup.
I mean, I'd rather, if you're going to go three innings, give up six hits and walk three. Don't give up three hits and walk six, because when you do that, I mean, we have no hope. We can't get back to where we need to be. We need to be over the plate. That's the whole thing with baseball. You've got to give them a shot. And when you're not giving them a shot, you're not giving yourself a shot.
And I don't want to hear – I'm quick to blame the umpires. A lot of time you'll see me bitching about Judge's strike zone or Stanton's strike zone, but people were making excuses for Hap like it was the umpire's fault. The guy's got no stuff. He's not even close. When he was throwing it over the plate, it was getting hammered. What did he – three innings, five runs? I mean, his lines – I know his ERA is over 10. Like, I'm giving him one more start, maybe.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, we'll talk about it. I mean, the Yankees aren't even giving him the next start. But, the umpiring in that Philly series. So now I'm not going to excuse Hap, because six walks is six walks. You're not getting it. But I believe it was game two of the doubleheader. Or I don't remember if it was game two or if it was the next day. But which game did Montgomery start?
Montgomery was the last game.
Okay, so in that game,
Thursday, yeah,
there were the first seven strikeouts of the game, five of them were looking. That's an umpiring problem. That, like, even if you're, he's calling it both ways, like, if we're both getting fucked, we're still getting fucked. You know, it's not a matter of, he's just giving the inside edge a little bit, you know, on right-handed batters, and everyone knows that. If you have five of seven punch-outs being looking to start the game, you're in trouble.
Exactly, and I had this argument with a buddy of mine. He's like, well, the strike zone's bad for both teams. It evens out, and that's not true. The Yankees have the tallest hitters in the league. A bigger strike zone hurts us more. We take more pitches than any other team in the league. Like, our MO is taking those borderline pitches that get called for balls and then hammering that 3-1 pitch over the wall. Like, that's what the Yankees do. And when you're – I mean, there was a 3-1 pitch to Glaber, I think, in game three of that series that was like – 6 or 7 inches off the plate, and he's taking off his elbow guard, you know, tossing the bat aside, and umpire's giving the strike signal. It's like, man, that's not even close. And it was very frustrating, and it was all four of those games. The umpiring was awful.
It was like that umpiring unit, whatever the hell they're called. Like, we had to get away from them, because we also hit the spot, like where you're talking about with Glaber taking that pitch, taking his arm pad off. There were a couple times where our pitchers would throw a pitch with two strikes, and whether it's Gary or, you know, Higgy and the pitcher are starting to, like, walk to the dugout. Now you're in an issue where it's like, we've got a bad umpiring crew, and we've shown them up. And we didn't show them up on purpose.
Right.
But, like, a guy like Angel Hernandez is just like, oh, well, you know, everyone paid. You know what it is? This season, everyone who's there are the people who actually pay to see the umpires. Fucking nobody.
Right. No, you're exactly right. They all want to be tough guys, and they all want attention. And kind of like, which game was it? I think it was game two of the Rays doubleheader when Boone and Phil Nevin got thrown out. Yeah, I mean, so that they're picking fights, they're instigating. They're supposed to be the guys that calm everybody down. They're not supposed to be the instigators, and I think that's a big problem. But the Yankees played horribly. The umpires were horrible. The Phillies played the best baseball I've seen them play in 3 years, and we still split.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like
– but like you said, you know, you expect to lose – you know, one of those games. 3-1, hey, it's going to happen. You know, a broken clock's right twice a day. But to go 1-3 on those, that's not, you know, or sorry, to split that is not what, you know, what you want, because, yeah, it's not in our division, but you don't want to give away the games that you're supposed to win, especially in, you know, I've had issue with some of the lineups that we've put out there.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Because, negative Neil Keefe had the best three I saw. At one point, it was like the Yankees had played 9 games in 270 days and were sitting guys. Like, this is a football season. You don't sit Tom Brady for a game.
Absolutely, dude. We were resting all spring and most of the summer. These guys were just relaxing. You should be able to play 57 out of 60. it's really not that unreasonable, especially since these doubleheader games are only seven innings anyway. So that's not really – the doubleheader excuse doesn't really apply other than Gary and the catchers. These guys should be out there all the time. These Phillies – the lineups he was putting out against the Phillies, it's like, or do we even want to win? It was so frustrating. And Aaron Hicks is not a three-hitter.
Aaron Hicks is not a three-hitter. I mean, he's – Aaron Hicks is one of those guys who, oh, man, can you believe they got Aaron Hicks batting seventh? Like, that's a deep lineup when Aaron Hicks is batting seventh. Aaron Hicks bats third on a bad team, but not on the quality of teams that we're supposed to be putting out there.
Yep. I mean, if DJ is sitting, you want to bat him leadoff, fine. But he is not a middle-of-the-order hitter. He's a 235, 240 guy that might hit 15 to 20 homers, but – I mean, it's clear they love Hicks. I don't know what it is. He's looked awful in the field. He's, like, not hustling. He's jogging after balls. He's misplaying balls. He's looked pretty poor all around. I think he's under 200. So he's a guy, I mean, Glaber has struggled. Gary has struggled. But Hicks is one of those guys that needs to step it up, especially with Stanton on the shelf now.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about the calls by the umpires. And Hicks is a see-a-lot-of-pitches guy. Like, he works counts. He'll go up there and get you a 10-pitch at-bat. So when that's taken away, it's like now you're batting 200 and you're getting punched out. Like, it's, you know, it's a recipe for disaster.
You're right. He is the textbook guy that relies on getting those borderline pitches.
Yeah.
Couldn't have said it better. So, yeah, Philly series was really frustrating, and I really expected them to kind of go down to Tampa and kick ass and be pissed off. And Friday night, they were just dead getting shut out.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the shakeoff was like, we just split this series. Let's go to Tampa. Let's get, you know, you've got to hope for a playoff Tanaka there. You know, that's all we're looking for is let's get playoff Tanaka. And then we got playoff Tanaka. You know, you start to see once it's like, all right, you know, first inning, second, okay, we're getting like three innings in. It's like, wow, we're hitting a groove. He's out there. He's shoving. He's not out there battling because he doesn't have his stuff tonight. He brought his shit with him. And it's just the offense, I mean, Blake Snell went three innings. Like, how do we not – if you tell me that Tanaka's going to go out there and give up no runs over five and Snell's going to go three innings, like, how do we not jump all over that bullpen?
It was frustrating, and we've had trouble with this Rays bullpen for it seems like the last 10 years. Like, they just have this parade of guys that keep coming in, righties, lefties. We just – so many swings and misses. I think I said it in the postgame video, I think it was Friday, that we swung and missed 500 times. It really felt like it. Like, they weren't even close to scoring.
We had, like, nothing going on. Like, there wasn't a point where I was like, oh, well, this is it. It just – it wasn't happening for us at all. I mean, you get two hits. What am I going to do with two hits?
Exactly. Seventh inning, and in the seventh inning, it was a tie game. Gary had the bases loaded, ready to break the game open. You have that line where you said, go back to last year's ALCS and give me three singles. Let me place three singles anywhere, and that was a microcosm of this week. Give me three singles, and instead of going 3-5, we're going, I don't know, 6-2. That's what this week felt like, man.
I hate to say it, but with Gary – and, you know, obviously he's batting under 100 right now. Last year in the ALCS, he looked lost. Like, we got – it was just like – I wondered. I was like, when you're an Astros fan, are you like, oh, man, Gary Sanchez, like the killer? Or do you also know that he's lost? Are you just like, this is when he breaks out, this is when he breaks out? I felt just like that. Like, bases loaded, Gary Sanchez up there, seventh inning, we're in a 0-0 game. There is – I wanted him to deliver. There was no way he was.
I had no confidence.
Yeah. And you're the biggest Gary guy in the world.
Exactly. And there are times where he looks like Manny Ramirez. Like when he's on one of his hot streaks and he's hitting the ball 500 feet and he's pimping home runs. And then there are other times where he looks like a pitcher up there. I've never seen somebody who can look so locked in and so lost like in the same season or the same month. It's crazy.
The way he chases some pitches, too, I'm just like, dude, you're a catcher. You know how this shit comes in here better than anyone else up there. You've never seen a slider in the dirt?
and he takes the fastball down the middle and then swings at the slider in the dirt. Like, how many times has that happened? Dude, swing at the first pitch if it's right down the middle. His approach, he just looks totally lost, and I think he was watching an iPad in the dugout, and somebody tweeted, like, oh, that's probably watching a Bugs Bunny cartoon on the iPod, because that's what it looks like. Like, that's what he looks like up there.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a big proponent of, like, if you're in a slump, take a pitch, see what he's got, do that. But if your slump is from taking a pitch, seeing what he's got, because everyone's like, well, Gary's just going to fucking stand there. Let me throw it right down the dick. Get a hit there, Gary. Figure it out.
Something, man, something. It's been terrible with him. And with Stanton out, he is one of the guys that needs to step it up. Like, he cannot be hitting 100 with one homer while Stanton's out for a month. If Gary goes on a hot streak, they can survive the Stanton thing, no problem. I truly believe that.
The unfortunate thing is, like, Gary, I feel like, is always at his best just coming off the DL from, like, a hamstring. You know, yes. Like, a hamstring injury that would really only cost them, like, five games, but they're like, ah, we're just going to put him on the 10-day. Then he comes back and he hits six home runs in a week, and we're just like, he's back. And it's just kind of the wave of, like, Gary, you know, IL, home runs, IL, home runs. But he's got to figure something out, because even some of the, like, I mean, he's making defensive errors where it's just like, he looks lazy behind the plate. And I know, like, the
right.
Phillies announcers jumped on him because we had to listen to that dog shit. But they were, like, you know, some of the shit, he just looks lazy. Like, he's just not trying to get to the pitch. Like, he's waiting for them to cancel the rest of the season.
No, he is. He looks lost all the way around. Gary's bat is nowhere to be found. But Sunday football is coming back. Sundays are back in the NFL. With NFL Sunday Ticket.tv, you can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on any device. Plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFL Sunday Ticket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. It's a great deal, 15% off.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
For sure. Have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you never expect at a price you never believe. They have over 1,000 options every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. Here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer or the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, Deal Dash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign-up, on top of their other great discounts. Go to DealDash.com and use the offer code BLUEWIRE or DealDash.fm/BLUEWIRE. That's DealDash.fm/BLUEWIRE.
Woohoo! Nikki ad reads over there. Amazing product. Get out there, support our sponsors. Dude, do you or Jamie have an Apple Watch?
No.
This isn't an ad at all. I got an Apple Watch, and people always post about, like, when they complete their circles. I see it on Twitter all the time, and I was like, no one gives a shit. I got an Apple Watch late last week, and I'm going to close all my circles for the first time, and it's like, I'm pretty fucking pumped. Like, I get it, guys. I get it.
Is it like a fancy Fitbit? Basically?
Essentially. I mean, I think you could do a lot more with it, but I was just like, oh, I saw them on sale, so I just grabbed one for me and my wife, like, and, like, she didn't even know. It was like, it came in the mail. She was like, what's this? And I was like, I don't know, because we're just not moving around as much, like, or as we're supposed to be active, because we don't want to go to Planet Fitness and all this. And
right, fair enough.
And it's just a matter of, when I was on paternity leave, I found the time to go for walks with the baby. But now I work all day. So it's like, how can I, you know, make the effort? So now it's like, oh, when I close it, I'll I mean, it's not really relevant to anyone else, but that's why I stood up in the middle of your ad, because one of the things...
I was like, yeah, what is he doing?
One of the things is standing up every hour for a minute. So that's why
okay,
I was
so
like,
they give you little suggestions throughout the day.
Yeah, you
got to
stand up a minute an hour, 12 hours a day. Just make sure you move around a little bit. You've got to do 30 minutes of exercise, and then you've got like a calorie. Dude, this elliptical... I have used it fucking zero times. No one can see the video here, but there's an elliptical behind me. I'm on work calls, and people see the elliptical. I think they think I, like, work out. Like, nope, haven't fucking used it.
It's a sweatshirt hanger. It's a coat hanger.
Yeah. Like, that's what happened, because I sit under an air conditioning duct, so sometimes it gets cold, so I grab that. It's really, I'm the worst. I'm a real piece of shit. All right, let's talk more baseball.
Yeah, fair enough. So Friday night sucked again, and then you wake up Saturday, and I'm hungover at this bachelor party. I'm a little bit, you know, you got the anxiety, you're sad, Yankees have lost two in a row, but I'm like, Cole is pitching. And waking up and just having that feeling, we've talked about that feeling, I was instantly at ease. He came out and had his best stuff, I thought. I think he had 10 or 11 strikeouts, a lot of swing and misses, and we both agreed we should have left him in for the fifth.
Yes, so I was doing – I had, like, house appointments that day to go look at houses, but I was like, I got to be home. Like, because Cole gives me a feeling of security that I haven't felt in a while. So it's not even like I need to do it, like, because, you know, psycho Yankee fan. Just, like, I need someone to make me feel nice right now because we just lost, too. Like,
yeah.
He's a security blanket. But, yeah, I mean, he was out there. We were getting Cole. And obviously when he throws 107 pitches, you want to see more than getting into the fifth inning. Like 100 pitches, if you told me Cole's throwing 100 pitches in a seven-inning game, I'm like, wow, that's a pretty sweet, complete game he threw there. You know, hopefully he'd get that pitch count down for nine-inning games. But he was out there dealing, like you said, 10 strikeouts, swing and misses. But anyone who thinks that you take your ace in his first season – of this, like, weirdo season that, like, maybe it'll finish, maybe it won't, like, situation, and you pull him in the fifth inning when you owe him $300 million, you can't shatter this guy's – I mean, you're not even going to hurt his confidence because he's fucking Gerrit Cole and he got the money already. But, it like, let's worry about – that's a move that worries about October when we need him to do that. And that's a move that worries about year three when we need him to do that. Like, that's the decision there.
Not only that, it was a doubleheader, and they were bullpenning the second game. So it's not like we had all these stud relievers ready to come in. Let's not forget, Canely's done for the year. Chapman's not back yet for some reason that I can't fathom.
What the fuck? Where the fuck is Chapman?
Dude, I don't know. He's squatting 5,000 pounds in his apartment. You know, he got cleared 2 weeks ago. And now he might face live hitters on Wednesday. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, just have him face, I don't know, the fucking Braves.
Yeah, seriously. And, dude, it's this attitude. It's like they're not relentless right now. It's Boone with the relievers. It's the lineups. It's this thing with Chapman. Their whole philosophy right now seems very lackadaisical and not very tenacious. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's just – so we came out hot. Right. After the first week of the season, you know, we get two or three from Washington. Like, we're starting to move. We're, you know, hey, where do you need us to play? You need us to hang out in Philly for 2 days. You want us to go to Baltimore, beat that ass, bring it home, have the Red Sox come. Like, we were getting cocky. And as a fan base, that makes sense. But it's almost like we took our foot off the gas. Like, And in a season where it's like, you don't know, like, Major League Baseball is going to do everything they can to get us to whatever they can call a postseason for those TV dollars. Games aren't promised. I mean, the Cardinals are going to play 45 games. And they're, you know, and I don't know if that's going to make them ineligible for the playoffs or how they're going to, you know, figure that out. But at any given point in time, four guys on the Yankees get COVID and we could, as a team, be on the shelf for a week. So, like, make the most of the games that they're letting you actually play, because a win now is better than a nothing later.
You're absolutely right. And it's just that they're this laid-back approach, and they're not like chasing wins. Like, last year I thought they did a good job. Like, when they had a chance to get a win, they'd go for it, bring in that good high-leverage reliever. But if you go back to 2018, that was something that I was frustrated with. Like, they punted so many games, and the Red Sox won the division. And it just pissed me off because the Red Sox went balls to the wall every day. Mookie Betts played every day, and we're resting guys every third day. And it seems like they're going back to that a little bit. And I don't know if they're still trying to ease guys back in because of the summer camp spring training thing or what the deal is. But, like, Britton pitched once in that Tampa series.
It's three. We're 3 weeks into the season. Yeah. Like, there is no working everyone back in at this point. Like, you got that excuse for maybe 10 days.
I completely agree. And Andrew had tweeted at me in reply to one of my tweets basically saying there's no real advantage for – you know, everybody has to play that stupid three-game wild card round anyway. So maybe the Yankees are just thinking let's get to the postseason and see what happens. But I still want home field. Did you see how we played at the Trop? Do you want to play at the Trop in the playoffs? Fuck no.
I don't want our guys having to go anywhere. And, like, it's not for – you know, most years it's because you want, you know, the crowd on top of the Astros or whatever it is. This year it's like, I just don't want my guys to have to get on more airplanes. Because imagine, like, we get to the postseason, then it's like, if we get to the postseason and something happens where they can't play games, and I'm not talking the league, but I'm talking, like, specifically a team, and it's our team, it's going to be so heartbreaking. It'd be worse than if there wasn't a season.
No, definitely, man. It's frustrating. It's frustrating when people say, oh, there's no fans anyway, so what does it matter? It's still sleeping in your own bed. It's still having your own training room, this, you know, nodding at the security guy when you walk in. Like, all those little things that we don't think about, it's important to the players. And the Yankees play horribly at the Trop, man. They've played bad at the Trop, it seems like, for the past 15 years. Like, even when the Rays suck, we always play bad there. I don't want to be there in October. I don't.
Well, we're always going to get – I think we always get everyone's best punch, you know, because, hey, you're going to play the Yankees. But when you're playing the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, it's like a Bronx Tale. You get distracted by the pinstripes, the Monument Park. You never know. It could be Old Timers Day. Who are they bringing out to throw out the first pitch? Oh, the guy who stars in fucking School of Rock on Broadway. That guy's cooler than Joey Wendell, you know? So, like, yeah, like, all that adds up. And then the other way is, like, oh, great, I'm in Tampa, this sucks. Maybe some of these guys have apartments down there, so it's like, oh, I got to swing by my apartment and get all my Florida mail, which is only bills.
Right.
It's just not good. It's always wet outside, then it's cold when you go inside because it's a dome. It stinks.
It does, man. There in Oakland, I feel like the Yankees never win series there. It's there and then that stupid football stadium.
Yeah.
In Oakland, man, and I don't want to be at these places. I still want to be at Yankee Stadium, even if we can't be there, and I really want home field. And that's why it's frustrating when they put out these C or even D lineups, and they keep throwing out Sessa and Hale and Luis Avalon and instead of the stud relievers, man. It's frustrating. And if you look at it, last week they went 2-0 when Cole pitched, and they went 1-5 in the other games, and that is a problem.
Yeah. I mean, you need – I mean, it's Cole being Cole, which is, you know, great. But, yeah, we just need anyone else to step up. I mean, Tanaka stepped up. That's great. But, like, we need more of that. It goes back to, like, who wants to be a fucking Major League Baseball player today? Who wants to put their nuts on the table and say, like, I'm a man. I'm here to win this goddamn game. And I think part of it is I need Boone to do that. I need Boone to say, hey, I'm a fucking man. I'm going to put my man lineup out there, and let's get this shit done.
You're right. And Sunday, they really had a chance to, like, after a bad week, after everything had happened, it's like, you know what, we could win Sunday. We'll get on the plane happy. We can blast music. We can get out of here with a split. And to piss that away and to be up 3-0 in the seventh and just piss that away was excruciating.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's getting late early. That's what feels, I mean, and we're complaining about a first place team. You know, like, that doesn't escape us. We know we're in first place. But you're only in first place until you're not in first place.
Dude, and when you're not two games, I think we're up. Two games. Nothing.
Yeah, I don't even think it's two games at this point.
1.5, maybe?
Yeah. So, like, let's be up by fucking 4 games. Like, it's 1.5. Let's be up by 4 games, 5 games, heading into September, and not be, like, choking up these early games that are winnable, especially division games. We talked about the importance of how we're starting. You know, we started with the Nationals, and then we were going to Philly, and it was like, you know, hey, this is great. We can, you know, get our legs under us. The get our legs under us games are now gone. We're going to the Trop and looking absolutely lost. And, you know, there's no difference in atmosphere there than regular. So we can't blame that on anything. There was no one there before. There was no one there last year.
Yeah, the hitting excuses at the Trop, I don't want to hear them. It's perfect conditions every time. There's no wind. There's no rain. I mean, I guess it's a little bit of a pitcher's park, but the excuses are just so weak. Find a way to win games.
The Rays always find, like, these crafty relievers. They always do,
and they just keep trotting them out. And it's for that side bullpen, which makes it even more annoying because their bullpen's just on the side. And they all have great stuff.
It's like how I feel like anytime you play the Tigers in the playoffs, because, like, you don't watch a lot of Tigers games throughout the year. We see them for 7 games a year. But any time in, like, the 2000s that we would play the Tigers, it'd be like, oh, we got this new guy who throws a fucking 100 miles an hour. Never heard of him before.
Right. No, that's the way it is. And the Rays, they just battle, man. Like, they're diving for balls. They're turning double plays. They're taking the extra base, going first to third, hitting and running. And then we have Hicks lollygagging after a ball, turning a double into a triple. Like, that, it was very clear. The effort the Yankees were putting out and the effort – like, the Rays were going balls to the wall.
It was clear who had a $70 million contract and who's trying to get traded out of Tampa.
Yes. Yeah, man. But it hurt us. They were stealing, like I said, diving around, playing like it was the World Series. And the annoying thing is Baltimore swept the Rays. Like, when you say we get everybody
– that's what I thought. We were going in there and we were just going to fucking steamroll these guys. Like, all right, yeah, we split it with Philly, whatever. It's weird, Bryce Harper. Let's go win 4 fucking games.
Definitely. And with the Rays especially, the Rays and the Athletics, it seems like, in the regular season, they treat it like it's their World Series. And the Rays were talking shit. Kevin Cash was even talking shit. Like, they it just seems like they took it more seriously than we did.
Well, there's just no rules in Oakland. It's like, you want to bring a full drum set and a rock and roll band in the outfield. You want to bring a gun. Like, they don't check. You can do whatever you want there.
Right. No, you're right. It was annoying. You know, we had a 3-5 week, and after that 8-1 start, I think we all kind of, maybe including me, a little overconfident, smelling ourselves a little bit. I if you would have told me we were going to 3-5 last week, I would have laughed at you.
I was fucking Green Day over here. Wake me up when September ends. That was me. We're 8-1. Fuck it. Let the whole league get COVID. Check me in October.
Frustrating, man. Frustrating. Yeah. But, you know, there's other stuff going on. MLB today was talking about a bubble for the postseason. Maybe it's like, huh, our process has gone horribly. The NBA and the NHL have 0 positive tests. Maybe this is something we should look into.
Well, so, I've said all along, I don't think there was a bubble system that worked for Major League Baseball to do a season. Because even, like, Arizona is the closest where you – because – Arizona has a lot of facilities near each other. That's the only way Will Ferrell could play for every team in one day. But at the same time, Florida, it's pretty spread out. Like, yeah, you're in one state, but you're in, like, the shittiest state where everyone's like, hey, let's spit in each other's mouths for the pandemic. It wasn't going to work there. But if you get down to a bubble system for the playoffs and you just pick, like, whatever it is, you know, you want to pick a dome environment, you want to say Arizona and Houston, something like that, where you can make it work and the elements aren't going to be an issue, and you can crank out maybe multiple series in, like, one place. Like, let's do it, because, I mean, baseball's on borrowed time, I feel like, with the Marlins, with the Cardinals, and it's like, well, who's it going to be this week? Oh, to a certain extent, you know. Let's find a way to make it work, because the threat's always been, like, as it gets into the fall, this is going to happen again. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And college football today is canceling. So, yeah, let's come up with a plan. Let's not be – everyone's criticism of college football was, you guys just didn't do anything for all these months and just hoped everything would work out. And baseball did that. I mean, baseball wasted April and May. So, like, let's not waste this time of figuring, you know, out where we're going to play these games.
Proactive, not reactive. And kind of what Passan was saying is, you could have 3 bubbles for the wild card round, and then you could have 2 bubbles for the divisional series round, and then just 1 bubble for the CS and the World Series. And I got an idea. How about the Ripken Complex? They got 5 or 6 fields. It's in Aberdeen, Maryland, and the fields are actually based on the dimensions of Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, Camden Yards. I played there in high school. I mean, it was fun. If you're going to have a bubble somewhere in the Northeast, I'd go with the Ripken Complex.
I think here's what worries me is, like I said, Arizona's good because they've got the dome. Houston's good. They've got the dome. On the East, the only dome we have is the Trop, and it can't be the fucking Trop.
Cannot be there. No.
It can't. Like, you can't showcase the best of the best in a trailer park.
It really is a trailer park, man.
It's so bad. So that's what worries me, is like, are they going to go for like a, like once you, and maybe I'm taking bubble too literally, but like, I don't know, once you narrow it down to a bubble, do you then go, because you're on borrowed time, you've added this extra round of like playoffs, do we just try to take weather totally out?
That might be a good idea, but I'm going to play devil's advocate. You mentioned Houston and L.A. I don't want to play the Houston at Minute Maid during the bubble. I don't want to play the Dodgers in the World Series in Southern California.
No, I said like, Arizona.
Those are places that I've read about, and I think we could definitely get screwed if you pick somewhere in Texas or California or Arizona.
We'll play in Safeco. We'll play all day games at Safeco or whatever they call that stadium now.
That place is beautiful from what I've heard.
Yeah, I haven't been there, but it looks nice. Yeah,
they have a roof, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's just no one in – like, I'm trying to think through. I mean, obviously, Yankees, Mets, Boston all don't have it. Toronto, we can't go to Toronto because no one wants us out of our country. Baltimore, Washington, they don't have it. Atlanta doesn't have it. Miami, it would probably be Miami. Miami would be the East Coast one. And then you'd have to literally have a bubble. Like, you'd have to – NBA bubble, that'd be so tough to keep these guys. I think maybe once you get to the playoffs, it's not as tough to keep the guys disciplined. But
if you're going out, and we'll talk about these two in a second, if you're pulling a Clevenger / Plesac going out during a playoff series, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, but I mean, I hope they figure it out. But I could see it being those three Southern domes.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to – if we get to the playoffs and we have baseball
– I mean, we're in the playoffs. We're in the playoffs the second they were like, we're going to have half the league in. Like, we're in there. I mean, Manfred will stab someone in the neck if he has to get us in the playoffs. You know, you want the pinstripes in the playoffs. But I like the idea that they're maybe getting ahead of this because it's borrow time. It has to be. So
yeah, got to get it in. And, you know, we thought that – look, Cardinals had a scare. The Marlins had a scare. It seemed like everybody was on the same page. Everyone was locked in. And then we get that story out of Chicago. The Indians were in Chicago playing the White Sox. And two starting pitchers, I think it's Zach Plesac is his name, and Mike Clevenger, the stud on the Indians, they go out on a Saturday night on the town in Chicago. And now they are isolated and sent home.
You ever been to Chicago?
Twice for work. I didn't get to do anything fun.
Dude, great city. Great city to go out in. I don't blame them at all. No, it's tough because this is what I said all along was going to be the issue, is over time guys get comfortable and they're like, ah, well, it's not me. It's not going to be me. I'm just going to meet buddies, because that was the whole thing. It was like Plesac's buddies.
His boy's from home. Yeah, he's from Chicago or
yeah.
Wherever. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I'm just going to go hang out with my buddies. No big deal. I know they're all safe. Because they're my buddies. But, like, that's how this happens. And they even got sent, because they did it, they got sent home in a car. So instead of a 45-minute flight on Sunday, like the rest of the team had, they had a 5-hour car ride.
That is brutal, man. And it really, you want to talk about competitive advantage and playoff chances for the Indians, that's going to absolutely kill them over a 60-game season to miss 3 Clevenger starts and 3 Plesac starts. Going to absolutely kill them if they have to quarantine. That was really dumb. They were rolling along pretty good too.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have to do, it's like a minimum of 3 games that they're doing. And you know, it's smart of the Indians to get ahead of it. You know, if it was one of those things where it comes out through the media, that's when you get like, well, you know, this is the same as when the Marlins decide that they're going to play. You know, you got to take it out of their hands, take it out of the league's hand, and because based on some of the suspensions we're seeing in baseball, you know, we saw Joe Kelly. We just saw the coach from the Astros get 20 games for inciting a fight. The league comes down, you know, it may be like, hey, you went into this, you know, you're missing, you know, 10 games or something like that, where you get ahead of it and say, ah, we're going to do a couple days. No institutional chaos here. It's very college football. Like, we're going to take ourselves out of the bowls this season.
Right. And look, it's the PR aspect of it. And they're also probably just trying to be safe. And look, Carlos Carrasco, who's a member of that rotation, he had cancer last year.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about being stupid and insensitive.
That guy should get to shoot them with a paintball gun, like 3 times each. Like, you need some kind of, because, I mean, just imagine you beat cancer and then all this is going on in the world and you work your way back and it's like, come on, you fucking assholes, you know? Because that puts, now you're putting, I think that's been the biggest thing of COVID in general was a lot of people, especially at the beginning, I would imagine everyone knows someone now, was like, I don't know anyone who's got it. But now it's like, you're looking at like someone who it could really affect in a bad way.
Yeah, he's the most extreme case. You got to think Terry Francona was absolutely livid. He's an old school
and he's got
guy.
Health issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, very, very stupid of them. We are very excited for the Yankees-Braves game tonight, obviously. But before we get to that, we do have three questions that were submitted that I want to get to.
Three riddles.
Yeah, three questions for us. First question is from one of our regular listeners, Austin Jones, on Twitter. He said, I have for you and JJ is, do you think the Gary struggles have anything to do with the pressure of having Cole on the team now? I've noticed that between every inning, Cole and Gary are having long conversations. Was thinking maybe this could be something that people don't really talk about. People are quick to just say Gary sucks and move on, and Austin actually DM'd me some stats of Gary, you know, hitting when Cole starts, and he's 0-4 those games, basically. So do you think Gary's putting so much time and effort into catching Cole and building that relationship that it's neglecting his hitting?
No, I don't think so. I think because I don't think Cole is asking for more. Yeah, I mean, maybe he is. Maybe he's asking for a little bit more in terms of just, like, focus, but it's focus that should be there already. You know, it, like, Cole's not asking to go out and get beers, and that's distracting from it.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You know, he's saying, like, hey, here's the way I approach things. I'm the best to do this right now. So everyone who's going to throw you pitches besides me, especially when you're batting, is worse than me. So here's what the best does. Now you just have to play down. Like, I think it should help him.
I would think so too, but it could be, you know, when you're – look, when you got the hottest girl at the party that's dancing with you, you know, you do everything you can to impress her. I mean, we've all kind of been in that sort of situation. There's a lot of pressure on Gary to have a good relationship so that this doesn't become a Randy Johnson, Jorge Posada situation or Burnett and Posada, like I mentioned before. I think Austin might be onto something here.
I don't know. You're talking every 5 days, though. Like, yeah. Did Posada not play because Randy Johnson didn't like him?
Well, I mean, he had Flaherty catching.
Yeah, but Posada didn't bat 0-91.
Oh, perform well.
He didn't bat 0-91. He didn't, he didn't not catch, you know, he was letting balls go through his legs that aren't even bouncing. He's just not putting his glove there.
It's bad, man. And he did it in the ninth inning, too. And look, I get it. Britton throws a heavy sinker, and sometimes he spikes it 55 feet. I know he's not the easiest guy to catch, but ninth inning, tie game on the road where they can walk it off in one swing. You got to block everything.
Yeah.
So frustrating there. And then we got Joe Randazzo, who's a good friend of ours, Bronx Pinstripes, great writer. Follow him at Yankee Librarian.
Nerd.
He said, with Hap start getting skipped, do we finally see Clark Schmidt soon?
You hope so. I mean, because Hap stinks at baseball. He stinks at professional baseball now. And, you know, we've tried to – he looked good in spring training. You know, we're like, all right, maybe figured it out. But
March spring. You're talking original spring.
Yeah, I'm talking real spring.
Yeah. Okay.
He looked good, and we're like, all right, maybe figured this shit out. Change his number. Get it, you know, get the ball on the ground more or, you know, don't let go short. But, listen, the balls are juiced because you got to get people to tune into these games. And Yankee Stadium's a good home run hitter's park. So that was never worked for him. We made a lot of excuses. But now if you walk six guys, like you – if you're giving up home runs, there's a chance they swing and miss at it. If you're just walking, guys, we're not even in, you know, they're on base.
Perfect storm. Small ballparks all across the AL East, juice ball, fly ball pitcher with no velocity. It's a recipe for disaster. The Yankees are a team full of, like, the high school varsity quarterback. Like, bunch of popular kids, right? Bunch of big studs. And then you have Jay Happ, who's like the nerd that sits alone in the lunchroom. Like, he just does not fit into this group at all.
It's also, I feel like, and I haven't looked this up, but I, you know, I'm watching the game, so I see it happening, but I just feel like I'm getting more, you know, because I get the push notifications too. There's just more bases loaded walks and hit by pitches this year than, I just feel more runs are scoring off of not hits.
Yeah, no, and if Ford got hit yep. with the bases loaded on Saturday, yeah, we have seen that. And that was the situation where I was like, God, we hadn't been hitting in runners in scoring position at all. I'm like, thank God.
Take
got
it.
A run here.
Wear that one, Mike. Wear that one.
No, but you're right. There's been a lot of quirky runs scored this season. Our last question here is from gotta give me a sec. So this is from Nestor. Do you think Clint Frazier will be a big impact to the Yankees during his time up? Well, he's not playing tonight, so hopefully tomorrow.
Clint is – I mean, how much longer are we going to play this dance, you know?
He's been here 5 years, four years.
I mean
– he's not really a kid anymore.
No.
Let's see him play.
And he's delivered when he has – I mean, he had – was it 2018 where he couldn't catch a fly ball? Was that 2018 or was that last year?
That was last year. 2018 last year. Was the concussion year.
Okay.
And we just didn't see him.
So last year he couldn't do a he couldn't catch a fly ball. Just needed the season to end. Had the yips. He was Chuck Knoblauch throwing it at Joe Buck's mom or whoever he threw it at. but I mean everything he hit in like spring training. Everything he hit in summer camp was like he hit it with a purpose. So get him in the lineup. Let's see what we have. Let's either get his stock up and trade him, get his stock up and figure like, hey, we're going to keep this guy as our left fielder and Gardner's out, or like just fucking trade him now. But like he has no value for us sitting in AAA or not even AAA watching our own guys while Andujar looks lost out there.
And you cannot play him two games a week. It was the same thing with Andujar. Like if you have a guy that's trying to prove himself and trying to get into a rhythm and make a name for himself, and you're giving him irregular at-bats and sitting him today and playing him tomorrow, it's not going to work. You got to play him 20 games in a row, have him know that he's going to be in the lineup, and see what he's got. So my
that's the other
is,
thing with these lineups.
So.
These lineups that Boone's putting out there, like no one can get any fucking confidence in themselves because like no one knows when they're playing.
Right now, it's very annoying. A little bit lighthearted. We'll end on a light note here. This question is from Christopher M. What are some terms we use as Yankee fans that other fan bases may not know or understand? And his example is bleacher creatures.
Bleacher creatures. I mean, we say pinstripes. You know, I mean, I guess maybe they understand it, but, you know, like the Phillies have pinstripes, the White Sox have pinstripes. But like, I don't think they say the pinstripes the way we do.
The only thing I've really noticed is other teams say, like, we're going to the – like, other fans say, I'll meet you at the park, I'll meet you at the ballpark. Like, we all refer to Yankee Stadium as the stadium. Like, they're playing at the stadium tonight. Like, we never call Yankee Stadium a park or a yard. It's always a stadium because it was the first actual stadium that was called a stadium. That was the only thing I
remember. We can also say the ghosts. We're just like, oh, the ghosts. Like, we know what that is immediately.
And the monument. We like, oh, he hit it into the monuments or.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I mean, like Wrigleyville has a lot of bars. So even like there's no, you know, stands is like iconic, even though I don't like it. But
we're Billy's guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, and obviously like the area around there, like, oh, the concourse, things like that are very specific to us. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to think on that while we take this, like, 3.5-hour break to watch a baseball game.
We got a dinner slash Yankee.
What are you having for dinner?
We've gone Freshly. So we get the meals delivered because we both don't feel like cooking or thinking about.
So is that one where, like, you have to cook it still? And just
no, no. It comes fresh. You got to eat it within 5 days and you just microwave it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, they say you have to eat it within 5 days. So I think I got a steak peppercorn in there.
Ooh.
Peppercorn steak.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I think there's
I don't know what I'm doing.
Broccoli.
I don't know what I'm doing.
All right, still winging it? You got half
yeah,
hour.
We're winging it. Our fridge is broken. We get a new fridge tomorrow.
Oh, so what is there's nothing? So you take
like
everything out?
So just like takeout. And we haven't decided.
Okay. Oh, you got a half hour. 6:30.
Got a half hour. Yeah, you put in an order anywhere, it's ready for pickup in like 15 minutes. I'm still not doing delivery.
Yeah, delivery. I'd rather pick up and just get it when I have it, and it's quicker and hotter.
It's quicker, it's hotter, I'm saving money. I still, you know, I tip the place. But And I just
nice
don't have to work.
Walk.
I'm cutting down the variable. Like, I'm cutting down one variable in the whole, like, trying to not get sick thing.
No, exactly. So we are going to go watch Jordan Montgomery try and get a win, and we will talk to you after the game.
All right. We're back after just a wonderful, I mean, a memorable game, one for the ages.
It was 8-0 in the fifth, and I was like, you know what, maybe I'll text Jack and be like, let's do this a little early. We could do this in the seventh, both get a little bit more sleep. I'm glad I didn't. I was this close. That could have been a disaster. Like, that could have been one of the worst losses of the season.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, it'd be cocky if we just did the post-game show in, like, the seventh inning.
And I love that move
most
of the time. But I was like, yeah, we're not there. You know, let's just hang around for a little bit. And this all kind of started. So they're cruising, and Gumby lets up the 3-run homer.
Yep.
And it's like, damn, here we go again, because you had the Paxton game where they left him in too long. He let up the homers. Cole let up the homer in the end. They almost lost. So it's like, are we going to really do this again? And then here comes the parade of our cut rate C-level relievers. Sessa, Hale. I mean, my brain's at a pretzel right now, so I don't even remember what order it was. But it's basically like Boone brings in one of the shitty relievers. They let two runners on. Then he brings in the good relievers, and we end up using all of the premium relievers anyway, and the game takes 4 hours.
When you look out on the mound and you see number 75 warming up, you're just like, we're not having a good time anymore. This is fun.
And Glaber and DJ, I don't know what the fuck is going on with them.
Got some yips out there tonight.
Dude, they combined for like 3 errors. Glaber, I mean, the Sessa inning where he booted that ground ball, that could have been a disaster. And the other thing is, when they were up 8-4, they barely escaped when the bases were loaded. I think that was on Avino. It's all blending together now, but like it was just a mess to be up 8-0 and then end up barely holding on 9-6. Ugh.
So much happened. It just started off as like, oh, we're going to talk about a couple home runs, like a nice Boyd home run. We'll talk about Judge's home run a little later. Talk about Gary holding on to the ball, even though he clearly got hit in the glove, and just like playing it off. Great defense. So then just like, oh, hey, wild pitch, pass ball. Gary Sanchez has no idea what's going on at the plate. Lost.
He's totally lost. He's totally lost. And he had the one, I think it was his first at bat, where he worked at 11 pitch at bat, and then he hit a hard ball up the middle for a ground out, and everyone's like, he's back, baby. Like, there it is. No, he's back when he hits a ball into the bleachers is when he's back.
Yeah, he that first at bat, he battled, but that was one where you could tell he didn't have his stuff tonight.
He battled, though. And Gumby was 5 shutout. I'm like, oh, he can go 7 shutout. We'll rest the pen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it just totally falls apart. I'm not concerned about Judge being pulled. I actually, at the time, I admitted I liked that move. I tweeted it. And I tweeted, Judge can't get hit on the wrist if you pull him.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden it's 9-6, and you're like, shit, I kind of wish he was still playing.
Now, Talkman walked in his spot. But I still would have let Judge hit, and then maybe sat him. At least let him hit.
Yeah, guys on fire. We're both in agreement. He's not hurt, right? He was chilling in the dugout.
No. I think it was just like a half day off, because they only had a day off yesterday and only one more this week.
Dude,
but like, yeah, whatever. You gonna rest him? We won, but. Maybe not till Chapman's back. That's the thing you do when Chapman's back.
Which, Jesus Christ, please
Where
come back tomorrow. I can't do this
Where
anymore.
Is this
I
guy?
Need him back in
We're
my life.
We're talking about sim games and, oh, we don't know what. What are we talking about? The guy will wrestle a bear in center field. Is there like a sneaky, is he like gambling and there's a suspension like when Jordan went to go play baseball? Like, what's going on?
Something with the Cuban mafia, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe. No idea. Really, really could use him back. Like I said, they ended up using Green, Ottavino, and Britton anyway. Sessa, I can barely watch this guy pitch. Your boy Neil had a hilarious tweet. He called him Everyday Avalon. Luis Avalon was warming up. It was a shit show. It was like, how many shitty moves can Boone make in one game and still win? Offense was good overall. They scored 9 runs. Defense, ugly. Bullpen, ugly. Gumby, solid.
Yeah, and I think the most – I will always remember tonight's game. I will never forget it because it will be the first time that I saw a Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron autographed one baseball that Paul O'Neill had in his basement. This was the winner of the local sports Emmy for New York this year. If they don't win, it's a bigger travesty than Dances with Wolves getting Best Picture over Goodfellas. How does show and tell with Paul O'Neill that not only does he have a baseball that one side he teases for heaven and heck, teases this like a professional, and then the way he displayed it and turned the ball to be like, oh, it's a Hank Aaron ball, and it ties the teams together because the other side is Babe Ruth. And then on top of that, it was like, oh, my hitting coach when I was a kid's wife was like, he would have wanted you to have it. What an American story, Paul O'Neill. That's a tearjerker.
Out of the basement. The Paul O'Neill in the basement segment is such a home run.
It's the best. The guy should never be allowed in the stadium again.
Leave him down there, let him have his Gatorade and his leftover pizza, and leave him in Ohio. That ball's got to be worth at least 10 G's, right? 15 grand.
I have no idea what that stuff is.
And you got 1,500
worth,
homers on it.
But, like, yeah, no, that's... I'm sure there's probably not a lot of those.
No. And he was really teasing us because when you think Yankees Braves, you think, all right, 96 or 99.
I'm like, he didn't get Hay. It's not the Hayes ball, but maybe I thought he was going to be like 96 game two. Like it's the third out of
the
seventh
Layers
inning.
Ball. Like some one of those, maybe the Layers ball or something in 99 or I don't know. But yeah, that nobody saw that coming. Weird game. We got lucky that Acuna didn't play. Hopefully he doesn't play tomorrow. And Tanaka tomorrow, but Jesus Christ, Boone, please just, be better. I love you. I love your hoodies, but this was a very poorly managed game. One thing that all of Yankees Twitter is in full agreement on is that, and we never usually agree on things.
Yeah, no, there was no fighting tonight. There was no fighting tonight. Like, people were throwing out some, like, dumb ideas about moving around the infield, but, yeah, we all were like, Boone, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Again and again.
Oh, it was painful. 11-6.
It's so funny to be complaining the way we are about wins.
Because it's an ugly win. Like when you are up 8-0 at home, your closer should not be in the game ever. Like it's an ugly win. You know, I'm not going to complain because we won, and every win's very important. But man, it would be nice to see a crisp, clean, like 7-1 win. Where nothing's stressful. Like, and this was supposed to be that. This could have been one of those games, and it wasn't. But, I mean, they needed a win. They had lost two in a row, so we'll take it. But, you know, got to sweep them tomorrow and get on to Boston.
Yeah, Tampa's kicking the shit out of Boston, 8-1.
Did you see the Phillies' bullpen?
No, what'd they do?
It was 3-3. The Phillies' bullpen let up two runs to make it 5-3 Orioles. Harper ties it. 5-5, and then the Phillies bullpen allowed three more runs to the Orioles. I think the Orioles won like 8-6 or something. But their bullpen is like the worst unit in sports, I think. Like their ERA is like 17.
Yeah, but in a 7-inning game, they gotcha.
Fucking, that was such a fucking bad break.
I saw Toronto for the first time, like in a highlight. Buffalo. And it's like, I don't know, it's kind of funny to see. I saw it in a highlight and it was just like, oh, that's cute. You're playing in a minor league park. This could be enjoyable to watch when it's our time to come around.
And they dressed it up or fixed it up pretty nice because I know there were things they had to do to make it like major league caliber. And honestly, the Buffalo Blue Jays has a nice ring to it.
I just want, like, let's get the Yankees there, right? I think we're going there.
We're going there. Apparently, there's a spot like on the road or by the highway where you can kind of see into the stadium, and there were fans hanging out there, but the cops like kicked them out.
Oh, because I didn't know if that was one that they were like, we'll just play it, you know, as visitors. But yeah, if we're going there, that'll be a fun little watch. Then you get O'Neill and Cohn telling minor league stories.
Yeah,
that's a good time.
Just give me this booth every single game. Kay and Cone, and the Warrior.
O'Neill in the basement. He should be allowed to sign his own deals. Like, he could sign with, like, Tostitos or, like, Pizza Rolls, you know. I just signed a deal with Bagel Bites.
And just eat it during a game. No, yeah, yeah. That was... That was awesome. So we will
Neil eating Blimpy. Just posting with a Blimpy.
Is that? I mean, we have. Is it Sheetz? They have Sheetz in the Midwest, right? Is that?
I've never had. I know it's like we're not far from where you can get a Sheetz. I don't know what that means, though.
I think it starts in like it starts in the Penn State area, and okay. It's like a Pittsburgh, Ohio.
Yeah, I heard it's like Wawa, but you know, obviously, I've heard it's like Wawa, but not as good because that's what Wawa people say.
Yeah, and I've heard it's Wawa with French fries, basically.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, yeah, so it's pretty similar. But,
I always think it's funny. Do you go to Wawa often?
Maybe like once or twice a month.
We used to go probably the same. Like running around, like let's just get sandwiches for dinner or something like that. And there would always be people in there getting like quesadillas. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing getting a quesadilla at Wawa? Like, what has brought your life to this?
Wawa's very cult-like. Like, people are obsessed with Wawa. They're like decent sandwiches, but people, it has a cult-like thing. And I grew up 5 minutes from a Wawa, so it's just another kind of fast food type place. But I get to when I went to college in Delaware, people from, you know, not around here would be like, Wawa, we got to go to Wawa. I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah, they got one in, like, Florida. And I remember, like, my family was just like, we got a Wawa down here. And I'm like, you grew up in New York, in the Bronx, in the Italian part. What are we talking about here? We got a Wawa.
And yeah, the Wawas in the city in Philly suck compared to the suburbs. Like, these center city Wawas and the Wawa by me are just awful, man. It's a cesspool.
I cannot go in and out of a Wawa without getting a cheddar stuffed pretzel.
Oh, that's your thing?
If you see me come out of a Wawa without a cheddar stuffed pretzel, it means they didn't have any cheddar stuffed pretzels.
Are those the ones when you're checking out?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's like when you're checking out, and it's just like, yo, here's a pretzel filled with cheddar cheese. Let's do this.
Yeah, that's strategically placed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. Well, let's talk in Wawa.
Yeah.
It's a new segment we're doing. We're going to talk Wawa every week. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a win's a win. You know, you'll take a win. You wish that arms would be fresher for tomorrow, but it is what it is. Maybe Tanaka can give us six.
Yeah, can we get a full, and I really wanted Gumby to give us seven, but yeah, give us six, like six, seven innings, man. We got to start seeing it, and I really wanted to stay away from Green today. He never pitches 2 days in a row, yeah. So you got to think he's not going to be available tomorrow, but Britton should be, and Ottavino should be, but man, that was ugly.
We didn't see Clint.
No. Ford, but I mean, how can you look at what Ford's doing? What do you have? Four RBIs?
Ford's doing well, and I guess, you know, Tauchman has earned his, you know, the burn that he's getting. It's unfortunate. But yeah, I guess, you know, it goes back to what you said earlier in the day that if you're going to put Clint in, like, just put him in and let him play, that's what it is with Ford right now, and Ford's been doing it. So, like, let Ford show up to the ballpark every day knowing that he's going to be playing.
And he's been raking. You worried about Glaber at short? He looks awful defensively. He's bobbling, booting, tripping over himself.
No, I think, you know, it's one of those things you just run into a slump. You hope he can bust out of it. You know, we talked earlier in the night about Clint just being unable to field and it just being the yips, and all that could change that was the season ending and getting time away. You know, that's not what we need at this juncture with Glaber, because that'd be a nightmare. But he just needs, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll end up get through tomorrow, have a day off Thursday, decompress, get back at it.
And it'll be cold Friday.
And I think it might be a little bit of the, you know, the bat's not looking too good. And you can carry that over to the other side of the field.
And Glaber definitely seems like a guy where you can tell it gets to him.
Yeah.
You know, he's like kind of an emotional player. He tries to hide it, but you see him get frustrated. After one of his errors, he spiked the ball on the ground. Like, you can tell he kind of gets in his own head sometimes, and he's 23. It's going to happen.
I think Kay said that a scout said the problem is Glaber got put in the three-hole, so now he's trying to hit like a three-hole hitter, and it's thrown off his swing. And then he's
swinging
for the
fences.
Awful at bat. Yeah. Yeah, I think it, you know, last year things he was letting the game come to him because he wasn't put in that pressure. But now he's the number three hitting shortstop for the New York Yankees. You got to try to be what A-Rod should have been.
Right. Now, good point. And he's gonna have to be used to having that pressure and hitting second, third, or fourth, or whatever, because he's gonna be doing it for the next 10 plus years. So
yeah,
gotta kind of get over that soon.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, unless at some point we have a first baseman. Like, sometimes you get a first baseman, third baseman who step into some of those roles, and you can slide down into a shortstop spot, but hit like a three-hitter. Yeah, well, I guess that's all we got for this week. We just need wins.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. We
need to eat up wins because we can't let Tampa start building momentum. That's the worst case scenario for us. You could follow Nick on Twitter
at NKirbyNYY.
Follow him; he's a good follow. He's been he used to not tweet a lot, and now he tweets a lot, and it's good stuff. Some good insight into the game and moves, and then some things I don't agree with, like sitting Judge was a good idea. Give me a heart attack. You can follow the show at George's Box Pod on Twitter and on Instagram. You can follow me at JJ from the Bronx on Twitter. Listen, we just got to keep watching. We're on borrowed time. That's the way I'm looking at it now. We're far enough in that it's like, listen, we're on borrowed time. Get us to a playoff. Give us back Stanton and let's win this. Let's win this and then we'll see you at the parade. All right, sports are coming back, and so are your best chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is back in action, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partner, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champ Big Shot Bob Robert Horry. I added that myself. That's not in the script. See what they had to say on what it'll be like to play without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE and receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.